May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 675. Come boldly to a throne of grace, ye wretched sinners, come, and lay your load at Jesus' feet, and plead what he has done. 675.
Thank you. us to read from his holy word, the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, and the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Proverbs, chapter 17. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than an house full of sacrifices with strife. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. A gift is as a precious stone, a stone of grace, in the margin we read. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. An evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man, rather than a fool in his folly. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man void of understanding striketh hands and becometh surety in the presence of his friend. He loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him. Also to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. The Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Solomon's Song, chapter 5. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me. My sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh, upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word. Grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we plead thy mercy. O, do send thy Spirit down that we may be made tonight true worshippers of God. O Lord, do graciously enable us. We cannot serve thee in the flesh. We cannot please thee in the flesh. O, do send thy Spirit. Thou knowest those that have brought thy Spirit in with them, dwelling in their hearts upon them. Lord, the hungry and thirsty, they have thy spirit upon them. The praying one, they have thy spirit upon them. The one who has come seeking and hoping to find a portion, looking to thee, Lord, for food, they have thy spirit. Oh, favour them with the answer to their petitions, the fulfilment of their desires, the satisfying of their hunger and thirst, by thy spirit communicating to them the blessed person and work of thy dear Son. And Lord, those that have come in without thy spirit, either dead in sins or backslidden, Lord, without prayer, without concern, they've come in like the door on its hinges. Oh, we pray for them, thy spirit. Lord, that even now they may be given living desires after thee, a real sense of their need, of their sinnership, a conviction of their sin, and the emptiness of everything earthly, their own emptiness, their own lost condition. And Lord, give them a cry, what must I do to be saved? And give them the answer that thou didst give to the jailer, for there is no other answer to that question. And Lord, grant them the preaching of thy word to this end, who help this poor sinner. For we read Paul and Barnabas preached unto that jailer the word of the Lord, and he did believe by thy Spirit's operation with the word. O Lord, ministers cannot make believers. O Lord, do help them, help this poor sinner to preach the word, looking unto thee to bless the preaching, to apply the word, to show thyself, Lord Jesus, through the lattice of thy word. To quicken by the word, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. O Lord, we pray, grant faith in the bleeding lamb. O, what a gift it is. Grant, Lord, that true repentance. What a gift that is. Grant, Lord, that hope. What a gift that is, and that love. Oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Grant, Lord, thy people that love, that they may know by thy love that they are thy sons, thy daughters. Lord, help this people. We pray for them once more, that thou hast blessed them abundantly. Lord, bless them indeed. Oh, that indeed blessing, an eternal blessing, a blessing that will never be taken away. We would thank thee for providential blessings, but they will all be taken away one day. Oh, we pray for an indeed blessing, an eternal one. Lord, the eternal forgiveness of sins, the eternal justification of us, that eternal salvation, that title to heaven and that meekness for it. And all that will not be fully given till thy people come there. But Lord, the work is begun here. From the moment of the new birth, that sanctification, that meetness for heaven. Lord, the poor have the gospel preached to them. The beggar is taken to heaven. The beggar is raised up from the dunghill and set by thee among princes. The poor is raised up out of the dust. Lord, we pray, let thy work here appear in our hearts, Lord. Let it appear in our lives. Lord, uphold thy people. Lord, thou dost try them, as silver and gold is tried, but only in love, only in wisdom, only because they need it, only for their good. Oh Lord, we thank thee for that. Lord, perhaps one here this evening feels, because of, Lord, thy judgments upon them and the hiding of thy face and no answers coming to their prayers, they fear that the Lord hates them. But no, Lord, thou dost say in thy word, thou dost try the righteous and hate the wicked. It is not the wicked thou dost try here below. It is the righteous, the people thou dost love, who are in thy eyes righteous in thy Son. They are tried to bring thee, to bring them to thee, to bring them off all other righteousnesses, to bring them off all other hopes. O Lord, to consume the false hopes. But Lord, when thou hast tried them, they shall come forth as gold. Help thy tried people. Uphold them, Lord. Oh, when thou dost try thy people, thou dost secretly maintain that life in them which thou hast put there. Lord, oh, they in the trial come into that feeling that they cannot go on, that there can be no hope for them, that they are head of the secret. But Lord, thou dost maintain that life. It isn't maintained by them. Thou dost maintain it. By grace they are saved, not works. Thou dost try thy people, Lord, so that they are made to realize that all their works are sin. Lord, then what do they have? Nothing. And Lord, those are the people whom thou dost save, having nothing. And Lord, when thou dost appear, they have all things. Lord, bless then thy tribe people. Lord, uphold. Guide this church and people, guide each one individually. O Lord, do not let us go our own way, for that leads to ruin. Lead us thy way. O, say to us as thou dost say to thy spies, come with me from Lebanon. Look from Amana, from Shinea, from Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Come with me. O Lord, call us to go forth unto thee and with thee. Oh, we thank thee for that wondrous truth. Lord, thy people with thee are more than conquerors. With thee are safely guided. With thee are kept. With thee, though nothing in themselves, though fools in themselves, with thee who art wisdom, the fools do not err in that way in coming with thee. Lord, those worthless names do prevail with thee to enter heaven. Lord, we pray for help for those that have mountains before them. Do make them a plain. Lord, grant, we pray, thy mercy to a dear young friend expecting her first child and a husband with her in it. Oh, Lord, we pray for them, and especially the dear expectant mother. Lord, Do grant her thy help in this time of waiting. And Lord, that removal of any fears she may have. And Lord, that delivering mercy. Spare life and grant life, we pray. May the child be thine. Manifest in thy due time. And help them in all that lies before them in this great change in their life. Oh, help parents, Lord. Especially in these solemn days. Oh, do help. Lord, help us to trust in thee. Help us, Lord, to cleave to thee. Help us, Lord, to stand fast. Lord, have compassion upon us. Remember us for good. Oh, have compassion. We plead mercy. Lord, and for our country. Oh, do have mercy upon Britain. Spare, we beseech thee. Lord, in wrath remember mercy. Do grant, Lord, thy overruling in mercy. Thy judgments are so sorely upon us. Help us each personally to acknowledge our personal sins. Lord, our own sins, just our sins, are enough to bring thy judgments upon this land. Then, Lord, what must it be? The sum of the sin of every inhabitant of these islands. Oh, it is only because of thy covenant with the earth that we have had a harvest time, that we are not as Sodom and Gomorrah, consumed by thy wrath. But Lord, we see thy warnings in the awful confusion and the rapid descent into sin, anarchy, ruin. Lord, spare, we beseech thee. Help thy people. Lord, no doubt, as we find it ourselves, it becomes increasingly hard to pray. But Lord, that means we have need to pray more than ever. And Lord, since thou art almighty, there is nothing too hard for thee. We may yet plead. Lord, may it prove to me that it is to show thy almighty, merciful power that things have gone from bad to worse, as they did with Lazarus, and as we have proved it in our own spiritual experience and sometimes in providential things too. Things are caused by thee to get so unspeakably bad that when thou dost deliver, thy glory is so great, thou dost have all the glory. Pardon now what we ask amiss. We thank thee for thy goodness to us. And pray for thy continuance of thy mercies. So we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 574. What a precious, needful thing is the Lord and Saviour. Zion shall his mercy sing, now, henceforth and ever. In him a rich fullness dwells, and is freely given. Law and conscience Jesus quells, crooked things makes even. 574.
Upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Undoubtedly, this word has a very, very limited application to an earthly friend and an earthly brother, where there is that trueness of it, the true friend, a true brother. I don't want to say any more about that, because I want to preach as the Lord enables me to you tonight. The one of whom the spouse says, "This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." For I have no doubt whatever that it is Christ who is spoken of in this text. It is only of him that it can be truly and perfectly said, "A friend loveth at all times." Where is another friend that loveth at all times? Where is there a brother born who is capable of helping sinners in their adversity? There isn't one. The psalmist proved it, didn't he? He said, "Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." Oh, but the psalmist also was able to say, "The Lord is my refuge, my strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." A friend. The Lord Jesus Christ has confirmed. I often seek, particularly when I am a little troubled about a text, sometimes a minister is more sure of his text than others, but I often ask, when I'm not sure, for some confirmation in the first hymn, and the Lord mercifully gave it, "Jehovah is the sinner's friend." A friend. A friend. He speaks of closeness. He speaks of faithfulness. It speaks of companionship. It speaks of acts of kindness. In the next chapter, the 18th, verse 24, we read, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. To be truly called a friend, we must show ourselves friendly. And there is none shows himself more friendly to his people than Christ. That account we have in the Song of Solomon of the way the Lord shows himself friendly to his people. Have you ever proved it, sinner? If you have, you know that this friend is yours. And when do we really find out who our friends are? A friend in need is a friend indeed. When we are in need, we find out who our friends are. And my dear friend, if the Lord is your friend, you'll be brought into such a need, you'll only find one friend. Which of all our friends to save us could or would have shed his blood? But our Jesus died to have us reconciled to him in God. For you see, the spouse, her friend, her beloved, he went to her and showed himself friendly. She was not in a healthy state of soul, was she? Laid on her bed. And he went to her door, knocked upon it and spoke to her from the other side of the door. He said to her, open to her, my sister, my spouse, my beloved. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. He's speaking of Gethsemane. What is love? My soul would answer. Nor deserves the endearing name but the love of God the Saviour, whose dear heart's a constant flame. View him prostrate in the garden. Wet his locks with dews of night, grappling with the powers of darkness, sweating blood. Amazing sight. Well, what is the beloved, what is the spouse's response to him? I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? She was rejecting Christ. That's what we all do. What a friend is that that does not allow us to finally reject him, who overcomes our rejection of him. She says he put in his hand by the hole of the door. And my bowels, that is my innermost heart and soul, were moved for him. A poor sinner whose heart can't move. Oh, his lips might move. He can put on a show of religion. He can put on a cloak of religion. But he can't move his own heart. He can say a prayer with his lips, but he can't pray one with his heart. Of himself, he can't go after Christ. What does he say? I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a people that inquired not after me. Does he speak as though someone's going to find him without seeking him? No. Does he speak as though someone is going to be favored who never inquires after him? No. What he means is he seeks them who never sought him. And the effect of him seeking them is that they seek him. Oh, sinner. If there is one here tonight and you feel to be so ignorant of this experience, and yet you feel in your heart the wretched condition that I'm describing. Oh, what a fool I am. I'm heading to a lost eternity, but oh, I'm so backward at seeking of him. I'm so backward to pray. Why? This earth doesn't mean anything really, and yet I am groveling in it. The things of this earth are worth nothing really, and yet what a lot of attention I pay to them. Well, Christ, according to the will of his Father, and when I speak tonight of Christ, It is according to his Father's will, and he is the express image of his Father. And that is communicated by the Holy Spirit. You know, when we are unable to preach Christ, we glorify the Father and we glorify the Holy Ghost too. He that honoureth the Son honoureth the Father also. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. But then you see, if we look back, go back again to that case in the Song of Solomon, her friend, her beloved, withdrew himself. So this friend, in all his friendliness to his people, he is wise. He tries his people. You see, we might think that that was unkind of Christ when she had got up to go away. Surely we might think it would have been kinder if he had stayed there and let her find him the other side of the door as she opened it. But no, no. By him acting as he did, on the one hand, he was trying her. Does she really want me? Is she really now changed? Will she now defile her feet? Will she now put her coat on and go out into the night? And the answer is yes, she will. Why? Why will she? He is showing by what he causes her to do. He is showing the power of that hand of his. He is showing the power of that grace of his. He is showing that when he put in his hand by the hole of the door, he really was. He really did get into her heart. Her heart really was moved. A friend loveth at all times. It was because of love he went to her house. It was because of love he knocked on her door. It was because of love, the time when she said to him, I don't want thee, Lord. I prefer to lie on this bed. I prefer to stay here than come out to thee. He didn't cease to love her then. And he didn't cease to love her when he was withdrawing himself, when he was hiding himself from her. He didn't cease to love her when he permitted the watchman that went about the city to wound his spouse. Oh, you see, what a mystery this is. This friend that loveth at all times is the infinitely wise one. Because he loveth at all times, it doesn't mean your enemies are never going to wound you. I often speak of Peter, don't I? The Lord permitted Satan to wound him because Peter needed a fall. He needed the fall that he suffered in that judgment hall. He needed a fall before that maid. Oh, to show the love that Christ had to him, to show the grace that Christ had for him, the grace of forgiveness, the grace of repentance. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Ah, you see, When Peter was saying, I am ready to go with thee to prison and to death, there wasn't any faith in that at all. Not an atom of it. He was trying to live by sight, not by faith. He was trying to live upon himself, not upon Christ. The friend loveth at all times. We read in another place, don't we? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Oh, this friend, my dear friend, he won't deceive you. He won't say one thing and mean another. He won't hide the truth from you. He has no fear of offending you, as an earthly friend may have. No. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend loveth. And this is the thing, love. The Song of Songs is the Song of Solomon is the Song of Songs. It is the Song of Loves. And no song is like the Song of Solomon, because it is the song of the love of Christ to his bride and her love to him, which is, of course, his love in her. Oh, it is a song that will be sung forever and forever. They sung a new song, we read in the book of the Revelation. Is it different from the Song of Solomon? No. Oh, but in heaven they enter into the fullness of it. That's why it's a new song. It's not a different theme. It's not a different Saviour. It's not another different gospel. But oh, it is the singing of it with new hearts. Dear Newton says, doesn't he? And oh, I often think of it with regard to the poor lispings and stammerings of my preaching. Newton said, when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a sweeter, nobler song I'll sing thy power to save. But it's not a different song to what Newton sung on earth. But oh, his heart's expanded now. Because he dwells where Jesus is. And he doesn't see Jesus through a glass darkly. He sees him face to face. Oh, he enters more fully into the meaning of the song. He can enter more fully into the praise. And my dear friend, not only that, he can enter more fully into the wonder of it. And he can enter more fully into the nothingness of self in it. It does not yet appear what we shall be, says John, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. A friend loveth. It is love, then. Eternal love. Unconditional love. A friend loveth. You see, love. Why, it is the greatest thing, isn't it? In this world, love is the greatest thing. Even with respect to the corrupted love of man. Oh, what will even that do? Will it not do more than anything else? But when we speak of the uncorrupted, eternal, infinite, divine love of God, love divine, all loves excelling. Ah, love is at the root of all that God does and all that he is for his people. Why does the Saviour hang on the cross at Calvary? 'Tis all for love. The motive's plain, 'tis all for love. Why did God the Father send his Son? God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That love is unchangeable. There was never a time when God did not love his people. There will never be a time when he doesn't love them. I've loved thee, he says, with an everlasting love. Oh, you say, how can it be? My dear friend, it can be because God is love. It's not, it cannot be because you are lovable. It is because God is love that he loves you with an unchanging love. Oh, he doesn't love you because you're lovable. He doesn't love you because you're so good. He loves you because he will. He loved me when he saw me ruined in the fall. He loved me, notwithstanding all. A friend loveth, and he shows himself friendly. Has he quickened you by his spirit, my dear friend? He did that because he loved you. Has he made you feel you're a sinner? He did that because he loved you. Oh, has he given you a love to him? Ah, you are bound to say your love is cold and faint. And perhaps sometimes it's so cold and faint that you don't feel you love him at all. And that is to prove to you how it is you love him. Because when you feel to got no love, as it was, of course, completely so at one time, and then you feel your bosom glow with love, and it's not because of something you've done. It's not because you have of yourself begun to love him, but because he has manifested his love. And how does God manifest his love? He does so in the manifestation of his Son. And how does he manifest his Son? He lifts him up on the pole of the everlasting gospel. And the sinner looks. A friend, oh, this friend that loveth at all times. Love this people, great and small. Oh, they're not all the same size. They don't all experience the love of Christ here below in the same measure. But he says, they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Now, this is what friendship is. You can't be a friend with a person you don't know, can you? Christ comes and shows his friendliness by making his people his friends. They who were his enemies. You may be very troubled tonight about the state of your soul, but there was a time when you weren't troubled at all. If that trouble over your soul would not go away, has not gone away, did not go away, but the Lord used it to draw you to his feet, and he still does so, wounding that you might come to his feet, reproving that you might fall at that reproof, not smiling until he has brought you to him in that way that pleases him. He can't smile at you when you're coming with anything of yourself. He shows himself friendly by emptying you. You don't see the friendliness in that. But when the gospel is preached as being the provision for empty sinners, when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. You see the friendliness of Christ as it is set forth in the gospel and is communicated to your soul by the Holy Ghost. And there is an attraction to him. He draws his people. The friendliness. And oh, what friendliness it is to sinners who have rebelled. Daniel says, confusion of face belongeth unto us because we've sinned against thee, but unto our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against thee. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Christ here is showing himself friendly. And what it is, my dear friend, is bringing the sinner to come to know Christ. My dear friend, there's a difference between saying your prayers ever so regularly, day and night, and coming to know Christ. And the difference is, my dear friend, it's wrought by God. And it's this. When God puts in your heart a sense of your true state before him, and then you cannot pray to a God who you do not know. You cannot pray to one who you have no idea how he could save you. There is the doctrine of Christ, in which the friendliness of Christ is set forth. You see, it's not just an emotional thing. This friendliness of Christ is founded upon the doctrine of who he is and what he has done and what he has to give sinners. When you're in real need, who can be a friend to you but he who shed his blood to put the sins of his church away? Or when you're really completely wrong, who can be a friend to you but he who wrought that righteousness to clothe his friends with, that they might appear before God clothed in a garment that is so pleasing to God and so covering of all their wretchedness and wrongness? Oh, when you're a fool, who could be a friend to you but he who is wisdom? Oh, when you're in danger, who could be a fool to you? Who could be a friend to you but he who is the shield and the hiding place of sinners in danger? My dear friend, here is a sinner and they're in danger of hellfire. That's the danger the Lord's people are in. They're in danger of hellfire. And who could be a friend of a sinner in danger of hellfire? A minister cannot. The pastor cannot. The whole church of God cannot. But Christ can. Because he has endured that hell on the cross. He has suffered for those sins on the tree at Golgotha. Oh, he has given his life a ransom for many. He has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. A friend loveth at all times. He loved when the sword of his father pierced him. He loved when that weight was so pressing him to the ground in Gethsemane, as we mentioned earlier. He loved when he heard Peter denying him in the judgment hall. He loved when the soldiers were spitting in his face, crowning him with thorns, beating that crown into his head, scourging his back like the furrows of a plough. He loved them when his father was hiding his face. He loved them at all times. And you see, this truth is set forth to this sinner who feels so unlovable, who feels so ungodly, who feels so wretched, who feels so undone. A friend loveth at all times. He loveth at all times. What does this mean? Who is this person? What does it mean, my dear friend, in your soul's experience, to know this friend who loveth at all times? How are you going to prove he loveth at all times? Firstly, you'll prove it by him, through the Spirit, speaking of himself. He shall testify of me. And when you're in a particular time and you feel like this, how could God love me at a time like this? Think of Peter. How could he love me when I've just denied him with oaths and curses? Think of the thief on the cross. How could God love me? I've only just now been railing on him, together with my fellow. And how could he love me when I've spent my life like I've spent it? But where does God show he can and he does love his people at all times? He shows it in the person of Christ. This is the friend, my dear friend. Oh, not a friend of those who are so good, but a friend of those who are so bad. Not a friend of those who have a life of their own, but a friend of those that are dead. Not a friend of those who can soften their own heart and break that heart and repent of their sin, but a friend of those that are hard-hearted and cannot repent. Not a friend of the one who can of themselves believe. That's, my dear friend, a solemn point to be brought to. I know it in my own experience. This was a point when I came to feel to be utterly and completely lost. And, my dear friend, I've been there since as well. But that friend who causes an unbeliever to believe is a real friend. Is a real friend. A friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. It's the same person, of course. The Son of God could not be the friend of sinners, but by becoming the brother of sinners. The Son of God could not save sinners, but by taking the nature of man. Oh, you say, how could the Son of God take the nature of man, which is so sinful, which is so corrupt? How could he? What did the angel say to Mary at the time when she was told that she was to bear this holy child? For nothing shall be impossible with God. When the Son of God took our nature, he sanctified it in taking it, in the manner of the taking of it. Not by ordinary generation. And in the taking of our nature into union with himself, he sanctified our nature. He raised it to a level that it has never been at before. But it's still the same nature. He didn't take a special humanity. If he did that, he couldn't save sinners who have this humanity that we have. He took it with one exception, without sin. And he took it into union with himself. A brother is born. A brother is born for adversity. For to save sinners, he must come into the adversity himself. Only only speaking at the tea table of that in a very limited sense in our own little lives and in our own experience, how we feel for people as we never felt for them before, when we have been in that situation ourselves, when we have been in that adversity ourselves. Through being in it ourselves, we can sympathize with others as we never could before. A brother born for adversity. To us, fallen sinners, the law of God is an adversity. Oh, the law is so good. It is so holy. It is so righteous. But because we are so sinful, the law is an adversity in that it condemns us. Adverse means against. Of course, the law isn't against us in the true, the full sense of it. But because we're sinners, we're against it. It's against us. Christ, in his ministry, said, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. And he was speaking of the law as the sinner's adversary. And it is, because the law demands that you obey God in the fullness of the law. And the law demands that you obey every single precept of the law of God. And it says if you don't, you will die. And remember, my dear friend, tonight what death means. It means a never-ending eternity of punishment for sin. How many times has somebody come into this chapel and heard this truth preached? Because I'm not preaching something new tonight. But you have never felt it in your heart. You've never felt that adversity. That's why you've never come to know Christ. Because you've never felt the adversity. You've never felt lost. You've never felt condemned. Now, I'm not saying that all the Lord's people know this to the same depth. But the Word of God says, when the Spirit is come, he will convince of sin. What comfort can a Saviour bring to those who never felt their woes? This brother is born for the adversity of the law. Born for it. Because only in being made man could he be under that law. As the God-man, he alone could fulfill it. But he has. And by fulfilling it in our nature, it can be imputed. It is imputed to every one of those whom his Father gave unto him. Some people, you know, they think that the doctrine of particular redemption rests upon the manner of the taking of our humanity. But that's not scriptural. The doctrine of particular redemption rests upon this truth. The Son says to his Father, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. A brother is born for adversity. The adversity of the law is born for it in that he hath fulfilled it. In every jot and tittle. Obeyed it. My dear friend, there is the righteousness of the church. What a friend, what a brother, to be the righteousness of his people, completely and absolutely. There is nothing right about them, but they are completely right. They are given a righteousness My dear friend, there's no friend that has a righteousness to give you but Christ. There's no brother. All your natural brothers, they're like you, sinful men. But all this one, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And the adversity of the assaults of the adversary. The brother is born for that adversity. The Son of God couldn't have been tempted. He wasn't tempted. It was impossible for him to be tempted until he was born a man. God cannot be tempted, the word says. But Jesus was tempted, but without sin. And there is the brother born for adversity. Here is a man, the God-man who could not fall, though he could be tempted. Did not fall. The friend, as he says to the sinner who has fallen and fallen and fallen, I have stood. I have not fallen. I stood in your place. Then, for adversity, in death, one day, every one of us here will have to die. Unless, of course, we're on the earth when the Lord comes the second time. But that will be as solemn as dying. That's the adversity. Why is death such an adversity? The very fact that there is such a thing as death sets forth the adversity of it. Death came by sin. Oh, sinner, what a foe death is to a sinner. But what a friend death is to a sinner who has Christ as their friend. Because their friend died for them. I cannot explain to you. It's not possible. What that death really meant. Because it is known only to God. But it was a death unlike any other death in the sense that Jesus Christ, there was no cause of death in himself. He said, "No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself." The thief saw, didn't he? This man hath done nothing amiss. But he's dying. Dying to go to his kingdom. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. A brother is born for adversity. You see, all those lesser adversities which you have in your life, they're all caused by sin. Whatever it be tonight, this adversity that you have upon you now, or the adversity that you perhaps see on the horizon, anticipate. Sin is the cause of it all. The only one then that can be a brother born for you in that adversity is the one who hath died to put away sin. Died to vanquish death. Death of deaths. and hell's destruction. When you come in your soul's experience to those troubles like Paul came to, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We're in this trouble and we can do nothing to deliver ourselves from it. But Paul says we had that sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead. Now, look at this. Remember this, my dear friend, who delivered us from so great a death. This friend, this brother, every deliverance he gives to his people is founded upon his resurrection from the dead. These people are as dead men and women. What hope is there of you being delivered from your trouble on the ground of any merit in you, on the ground of you deserving it, on the ground of what you've done? There's no hope, is there? It doesn't matter what it is tonight, this adversity, whether it be a little thing or a great thing. But for this friend intervening on your behalf, you're lost. Who delivered us from so great a death. And you see, it's like this, my dear friend. The Lord shows himself friendly as he preaches his own name and his own work. He preaches his own gospel to sinners. And remember what I said, what I quoted just now. Jesus' words, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And what is the first thing that Jesus commands his people? To trust in him. That he should say that to a sinner. Trust in me. What a friendly thing to say when that sinner is so bad, so undone, so ruined. Ye are my friends if ye do. Now you see, he has the power to enable his people to do it. The Lord will have all the glory, my dear friend. Oh, it's particularly true of ministers, but I believe it's true of all the Lord's people. Both with regard to their own case and with regard to any others. Oh, how they yearn for that which is good. But they can only have that which is good by the grace of this friend. A minister knows he cannot make that poor, troubled heart of the sinner in his congregation to rejoice. But he knows his friend can. You see, if you read the Song of Solomon, what is the spouse continually doing when she is under the blessed influence of the love of Christ? She's pointing her friends, that is, her companions here on this earth, fellow sinners. She's not saying, come to me, is she? She's saying, go to my friend. This is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Paul may plant, Apollos may water, but God giveth the increase. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. born for adversity. I think I've probably quoted before, dear old Mr. Shaw from Chippenham, he used to say, there's no place where a child of God comes between the womb and the grave but what the Lord Jesus has been there before. And when he was there, he prevailed. Everywhere the Lord Jesus went, he prevailed. His Father says of him, doesn't he? He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. Where do the Lord's people come to know this friend? At all times in their life, as he draws near, and in their adversity, they come to know this friend. If I look back on my little experience, I'm sure the Lord's people here will agree with me in this. The time when we have come to know Christ is when we've been in the deepest adversity, when no other help could reach us. We were too bad for anyone else but the friend of sinners. We were too lost, but for him who came to seek and save that which was lost. Our sins were too many and too grievous to be removed by anything else but the application of his precious blood. We were too far off to be recovered by anyone else. But he who went to the end of the law for righteousness' sake. A perfect Saviour, a complete Saviour. One who hath finished the work his Father gave him to do. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In your adversity tonight, then, my dear friend, from my own experience and from the Word of God, I can commend this friend to you. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No wise. Whatever that adversity be, prove me now herewith, he said. Why? By his very declaration of these things. That was how I began to speak a while back, wasn't it? How this friend is made known, how this blessed person makes himself known through the preaching of the gospel, drawing the sinner to the throne on which he sits. And keeps them waiting. Then he speaks. He speaks in an infinitely friendly way. I love thee, he says. I am thine, thou art mine. He shows it also by his deliverance. When this one drawn to such a friendly one who says, if ye shall ask anything, in my name I will do it. He shows himself friendly in that, but oh, he shows himself more friendly when he grants you the answer. We sometimes get a faint illustration of it in our lives. Here is a person and they are completely incapable. And someone, and there's a pattern of Christ in this. Someone in love, That person that they are doing it for may be a most disagreeable person, may have many things that irritate. But in love, in the fear of the Lord, that one goes and undertakes. They take that case away from that person and say to that person, leave it with me and I will completely deal with it. My dear friend, that is what Christ says to every one of his people. What a friend is that who says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. You see, we, in that way I've just illustrated, we may be able to do by the help of God certain things. Perhaps there is one here tonight, and you are the favoured subject of this. In your life, in God's providence, he has given you a friend from among men like this. But remember this, my dear friend, they can only do so much for you. And what they can't do is save your soul. They can handle your financial matters. They can ferry you in their car to an appointment. They can go and deal with these matters for you and so on. But they can't touch the case of your soul. But the friend I'm preaching to you tonight, the brother born for adversity, he undertook the care and charge. That law, I have fulfilled it. That curse, I have endured it. I have drawn near to God with regard to your sins. I've drawn near in my own blessed person on the cross at Calvary. Who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto God? That advocate John writes of. Oh, what a friend is that, that stands up in the court of law, the supreme court of heaven. He does not plead any loophole because there isn't one. There isn't a loophole in the law. He does not try to set forth that this sinner is not guilty. He does one thing. He says, I've died for that sinner. Now you see, my dear friend, let me close like this. The Lord brings his people to himself. I sometimes come into contact with people, and they like to talk to other people about their spiritual exercises. Now, that's not wrong, unless it keeps them from Christ. Then it is wrong. If you put speaking to others in the place of speaking to Christ, you are the poorer. I find others, they're always on the hunt for another book. They want to read about the experience of another of the Lord's people. I find others, and they're always after a new minister. What did one man say? He said, the most blessed man is not the one that reads most books, talks most to other people, or hears most sermons. The most blessed man is the one that spends most time in the presence of the Lord, at the throne of grace. That's where salvation, by the knowledge of Christ, is known. That's where, my dear friend, you won't be fruitful just by reading books. Jesus said, abide in me. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. So what will this friend do with regard to all those mistakes you and I make? He will convince us of the mistake of it. He will not allow us to find comfort in those ways. And when we are wounded and sickly, and feelingly dead and hopeless, he will allure us, bring us into the wilderness, wherein we have none of those things, but there, he says, I will allure her and bring her into a wilderness and speak comfortably to her. The margin says, to her heart. Now that's the friend. And he'll tell you, your sins are forgiven. He'll tell you, you are his. He'll tell you. He'll take your fears away. Oh, that friend, my dear friend, he said many things to me over the years. Still I doubt him. But still he speaks. Oh, what a friend. We're in such peril. He says, fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What a friend who, when we're sunk in unbelief, says, believe also in me. This is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 582. High beyond imagination is the love of God to man, far too deep for human reason, fathom that it never can. Love eternal richly dwells in Christ the Lamb. 582.
Dear Lord, we do thank Thee for Thy word, the truth as in Jesus. We bless Thee, Almighty God, for the gift, the unspeakable gift of Thy dear Son. And we bless Thee, blessed Spirit, wherein Thou hast made Him known to any one of us. Oh, do make Him known more, Lord. Oh, make Thy will and purpose known to us. Impress on us Thy image more. Help Thy people in all their adversity to lean upon Christ. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us here.